Hello, Badger fans, and welcome to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. As always, Tyler Hunt and Matt Bells here, covering everything Wisconsin athletics. On today's show, we got a little bit of everything to touch on. We've got Wisconsin volleyball, who advanced in the NCAA tournament. They'll move on to the Sweet 16 after their win over Weber State. We'll talk about that. We've got some basketball to discuss. Of course, the big news surrounding Brad Davison returning to UW, as well as Wisconsin basketball. Picking up some transfer in Jacoby Neath out of Wake Forest. We'll talk about that. Wisconsin looks like they've been pretty active in the transfer market. I know they threw out a couple feelers to a couple other places that way. So that is an interesting kind of see how the rotation gets impacted with the addition of those two and maybe one other player down the road here. To round things out, we'll talk about Wisconsin football. We've got some news in terms of the 2023 recruiting class. We've got some preferred walk-on news at the quarterback position. We'll touch on everything, to kind of round out spring practice for the week. So it should be a lot of fun episode to kind of give you guys an update on each of the three sports kind of with big news going on right now. So, Matt, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, yeah. There's plenty to talk about today, most notably that women's volleyball game and just kind of sweeping Weber State per usual.
Yeah, that was that's a great place to start on the volleyball front. The Badgers looked really good. Of course, Weber State coming in off their win over Bowling Green. And Wisconsin really just came out and took care of business against an opponent that gave it their best shot. But Wisconsin volleyball is just so talented that at the end it was just way too much for them. So they'll move on to take on BYU, who upset or knocked off UCLA. I believe those two will play on Sunday, April 18th. Not sure of the time and the possible television streaming options quite yet. But what did you make of the Badgers' first round win? Anything to take, or just a dominant team being the dominant force that they are?
I was gonna say I think it was just more of what we're used to seeing at this point. They incredibly talented. You look back at last week; they had basically ran through the awards of the Big Ten and took a little bit of everything across all of the, first team, second team, third team, freshman. So it isn't a giant surprise that it went the way it did. I'm guessing that this next contest against BYU will be a little bit more challenging, but really then kind of you look at it, the regional finals and national semifinals, I think, is where this team is going to really have to hit their stride to make sure that they're clicking on all cylinders, because that's when the competition level even gets higher. And Wisconsin is a team that should be playing for the national title this year if all things go according to plan, given the talent that they have and just the assortment of weapons that they have to run in and out at all times.
Yeah, I think it was this contest was a good kind of, I don't want to say warm up because that's a little bit disrespectful of Weber State, but they were, a team that just didn't have as much talent. Wisconsin came out, did the things, leaned on the usuals. Dana Retke had a really good game. Daniel Hart had a really good game. Lauren Barnes had a really good game. And, lean on the players that have got you to this point, kind of get you, started in the NCAA tournament. Wisconsin's been so stop and go this entire season in terms of playing. So it's nice for them to just be able to get out there and play a game here and then, move on and play on Sunday as well. So it's going to be an interesting matchup with BYU, but I think Wisconsin just getting to play more consistently, now you're in the NCAA tournament. Hopefully you don't have to worry about any sort of those issues. You get the same, your same key players playing well. They should be able to advance and take on, someone beyond BYU. Hopefully they can knock them off. I think they could, but yeah, like you mentioned, once you get into those later rounds, I think the test will really start to come. But if you've got at least your feet under you with a couple solid wins in the NCAA tournament to get you started, I think that's a good place to start. And once Wisconsin, when they're clicking, they'll really get moving. So it's good to see that they came out and started the way you want to with a clean sweep of Weber State.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this team is really good, and they've got the firepower to win a bunch of games, and now it's just making sure that you don't slip up, because they got past one of the hurdles. Now there's a few more ahead of them.
Yeah, it's going to be great to look forward to and watch. It's going to be exciting to keep watching those games. But like I said, BYU is on Sunday. I'm still waiting on the time and the streaming option for that. Moving on down the line here, Wisconsin basketball is probably the biggest news since our last podcast. And we'll start with Brad Davison. He has announced that he is returning to Wisconsin basketball. And I'll have to say, Wisconsin Twitter, athletics Twitter as a whole, is always a joy. But the pure divide that was been there this week, with some people happy that Brad Davison's coming back, some people very upset, and some kind of in the middle. I would say the fan base is firmly divided at this point in time. But it makes a lot of sense. I know in the group of guys that were, of course, had the extra year of eligibility offered up to them, Brad Davison seemed like the most likely candidate to return. We mentioned in his cryptic post originally that he used present tense instead of past tense with Wisconsin. So it seemed like Davison was possibly the one that was going to come back. He now announces that he is. So what do you make of that? How do you feel about him returning? And where I don't know if you want to pick a side in this divisive fight between Wisconsin fans, but what do you make of his return?
Oh, I'll just pick a side. It doesn't matter at this point. So I understand the divisiveness, just because Brad Davison can be kind of a polarizing figure depending upon which team you root for, or even if you are a Badger fan in that right. But I look at it as, if you were combing through the transfer market and you take away that his name is Brad Davison, take away the jersey, take away his career marks in what he's done in terms of some of his, what some people will say is dirty plays, and they have been at times, potentially. So you look, though, at the statistics of what he is bringing for Wisconsin, and he is a 36% three-point shooter over the course of his career. Last year, he shot 39%. He's a steady free-throw shooter. He's good at grabbing rebounds, 3.5 a game, almost 2.5 assists per game. He has low turnover numbers, averaged around 10 points per game over the course of a four-year starting career. Has obviously last season struggled at shooting two-pointers inside the arc, only 27%, but before that was pretty consistent, above 42% up to almost 47% his freshman year. I think most people, when you're saying, okay, a 6'4" guard that's going to bring you that, you're probably happy, right? So I think if you look at it through that lens, it's something that fans should be happy about. You also look at the fact that this team has so little experience. They have two guys. If you take away Brad Davison, they have two guys who've played meaningful minutes in their college careers. Tyler Wall and Jonathan Davis. And Jonathan Davis only did it for 1 year as a part-time player. Tyler Wall did it 1 year as a part-time player and 1 year as a starter for most of the season. And so I think having the leadership capabilities of Davison back, like I said, four-year starter, is really the invaluable part here, just to kind of be a bridge towards the next group. And allowing a guy like Jonathan Davis, Tyler Wall to learn to become leaders under him, I think is important. So while I know that there are some things that come with Brad Davison being on the court, especially if Bo Borowski is refereeing the game, it is something that I think on paper it makes a ton of sense for Wisconsin. It makes a ton of sense for Brad Davison, especially because he didn't use a redshirt season, and he's not a guy who probably is looking at an NBA future in any right. So I think it makes a ton of sense for everybody involved. But I totally understand where people might be like, I don't know if I need to watch, 34 more games of Brad Davison.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was. I was kind of trying to look at it through a bunch of different lenses. I know there's some people that want to just move on from the group that's been there. I get that. You want to just let the new crop of players play and take some minutes. But that's going to come with some growing pains as well. And maybe you're okay with, you know, just throwing the young guys out there that haven't played a ton, and the result is the result, and then you go from there. So I get it from that angle, you know, just trying to will Brad Davison coming back build you for the future? I think yes and no. I think there's part of it where, yeah, he's going to play over someone else, but at the same time, I think the leadership that he can bring to a team that, like you mentioned, has not got a lot of guys that played some minutes outside of Wall and Jonathan Davis, I think that can be valuable as well. So I get it from both sides. I think there's the clear divide is there. I can see a lot of different angles, but at the end of the day, I think you look back at the numbers of what he brings at that position. I think that's going to be nice to have. You know, it'll be interesting to see how the rotation kind of works out. We'll talk about that a little bit here at the end of the basketball talk with Jacoby Neath, the transfer as well, how the rotation kind of moves around. I think that part is maybe part of it. But again, the numbers that he brings, the leadership that I think he can bring to, like you mentioned, a kind of a bridge between Wall and Davis kind of taking over this team, I think can be important. You know, the Brad Davison is kind of that extension of Greg Gard on the court there, and maybe you're not super thrilled with that, but at the same time, he's a guy that can score, he can lead, so I get it from all angles, but at the end of the day, it's up to Brad Davison. He had the option, and it makes a ton of sense for him to come back, and I think Wisconsin basketball, there'll certainly be some ups and downs with it. We've had ups and downs throughout the Brad Davison career, but I think right now on paper, like you said, it makes a lot of sense for both sides, and we'll see how it shakes out next year.
Yeah, and if he can get that two-point percentage back to where he was in his previous three seasons, I think you got a really good player who's going to help you out in a lot of ways. He's kind of reached his ceiling. Like, you know what you're getting with Brad Davison, whereas you have some of the younger guards that you're like, I don't know what I'm getting. But if Brad Davison is removed from that rotation, you're probably looking at five starters that are freshmen. And that's – I don't know if that's what you want either. So I think it is one of those situations where it's probably in the best interest that he's back. And for everybody who's kind of rolling their eyes – and it isn't super pumped about it, just know that it's one more year, and really you can hold on to the, at least the sicko in me holds on to the fact that it's going to piss off a lot of other fan bases.
you love the villain when he's on your team, and yeah, I saw some other fan bases tweeting about it and were much more upset than Badger fans and that, so yeah, it's going to be an interesting ride for Wisconsin and Brad Davison for one more. But I think at the end of the day, despite the discrepancies from others that at least right now, it makes sense. If we come out and he struggles to play and we've got those antics and there's other guys that have proved that they're ready to take some minutes, then I can see it. But right now, like you mentioned, if Davison didn't come back, you'd be going into the season with a lot of young players that haven't played a lot of basketball. And maybe that sets you up in the future, but that can also set some players back. If you're throwing guys out there that aren't ready to play, that can sometimes hinder the careers of guys. So I think, you know, with the rest of the guys gone, having one back like Davison, who makes the most sense out of the group, isn't the worst thing in the world, and we'll see how it shakes out. But speaking of Wisconsin basketball and the rotation, the Badgers also picked up a transfer in Jacoby Neath out of Wake Forest, is where he began his career last year, averaged 15.8 minutes per game with the Demon Deacons, 3.8 points per game. There's a couple games in there. I was looking at the stat sheets just a little bit ago, 8 to 10 a few times, played some quality minutes for the Demon Deacons, but looking to move on to the next phase of his career. Gives the Badgers some depth. You know, we talk about Davison at that guard position. So what did you make of this transfer pickup for Wisconsin?
I think in the end, this makes, like the Brad Davison move, this makes a lot of sense. I think most fans were probably hoping to land a little higher caliber player or somebody who was coming from like mid-major and rising up. But in the end, you're looking at a 6'3", 200 guard who has played meaningful minutes collegiately, albeit on a really bad Wake Forest team the last 2 years. I mean, Wake Forest has been one of the worst teams in the ACC, and I called them out for that, and their fans get really pissy. But but in the end, 15 minutes a game, 18 minutes a game, type stuff. He's not going to be a guy that's going to blow you away, but he does have plus athleticism. He has some not so great assist to turnover numbers, but I think if folks come into next year with the understanding that he is a kid who is probably going to mirror what Trevor Anderson brought you in terms of a reserve guard who is going to be able to give you meaningful minutes off the bench, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, because I think he's got a little bit more athleticism. You know, Trevor Anderson had that knee injury, which I think really did hurt him. He'll say it won't, but that in basketball you move so much side to side that it has to. In a certain extent, you see in watching highlights, he can get to the rim, he can elevate. He's a little quicker, but the turnover part is something he's definitely gonna have to work on. But if he can get back to, or even split the difference between his 3-point shooting from his freshman year to his sophomore year and get into that mid-30s, upper-30s 3-point percentage, I think he's a quality guard to bring in. And I just love that it balances scholarship numbers a little bit more. You look, think back of the train wreck that was the 2018 recruiting class, and he is the kid who would have been part of that. So he's really coming in and kind of filling in for what they missed out on and what was a really big, huge miss of a class. So I think overall it works out really nicely for Wisconsin. I don't anticipate him being a starter or anything like that, but I do think that a guard with decent size at 6'3", 200, who can help you out at either the one or the two to give guys a break is big. It also allows a guy like Jonathan Davis to slide down to the three where he played most of his minutes last year. So overall, I think it's great.
Yeah, I think the important point there was the tempering of the expectations a little bit. I don't think anyone should expect Jacoby Neath to come in and, you know, light the world on fire, play a ton of minutes, and be a guy that's, you know, providing points and assists and all that. I think the comparison of him stepping in and kind of taking over the Trevor Anderson role is great, because they kind of have similar games in terms of athleticism. I saw a few highlights of Jacoby Neath. He can certainly get up and slam the ball home. So he's got athleticism like that, but he's not going to be a guy that's going to come out and knock down a ton of shots and play a ton of minutes. So kind of having a step in of Trevor Anderson, maybe an equivalent to that, is not a bad thing. Anderson, you relied on him for a lot of minutes this past year, and with some of these other guys gone, some guys are going to need minutes. And I know, again, you can talk about some of the younger guys playing, but they still are going to need some bodies to play that way. So it makes a lot of sense that Wisconsin went after a transfer, like you mentioned. I think there were maybe some expectations that they'd land someone bigger, but when you look at the guys that went out the door to get, you know, a guy like Jacoby Neath back in there to take on a certain role, I think will be important. And I love the point that you mentioned about scholarship numbers, because I think that part makes a lot of sense that maybe not as many people think about in that regard, is that 2018 class was, you know, such a miss. To have a player that steps into that and kind of helps mitigate that is an important part of college basketball that sometimes people don't think of. So I think, similar to the Brad Davison, you know, point that you mentioned, it makes a lot of sense, I think, for both sides. Neath maybe looking to, you know, move up a step in competition, play maybe a little bit more in a Big Ten. Of course, the ACC is a quality conference, but Wake Forest as a basketball program not as strong as where Wisconsin has been recently. So I think it's a good fit for the Badgers, as long as there's expectations there that he's not going to be coming in and a guy that's going to, you know, dominate and play a ton and score a ton. I think if he finds his role, I think he could be a good part of a new and budding rotation.
Yeah, and sure, he might make some nice gains and become a reliable player off the bench, give you 6-7 points off the game. But yeah, like you mentioned, I don't think this is going to be a kid who's going to come and be a high scoring threat or really just all of a sudden become a totally different player. He didn't have crazy offer lists coming out of high school. He was kind of under recruited. So I think Wisconsin is getting a good rotational player that can help them out and give them some experience and depth, things that this team needed at the guard position, because Chucky Hepburn is a kid that Wisconsin's really high on, that fans should be super high on. Jonathan Davis is a kid that fans should be extremely high on after what he did this past year. And Lauren Bowman, we're still hoping to see what he's going to be next year after taking basically a year off. So those were going to be otherwise your only three guards outside of the recent walk-on that they got as well. So I think you really needed another body, especially an experienced body, to come in there. And I think this really sets up your roster a little bit better. And I believe they still have a scholarship. If they wanted to roll with a grad transfer, they still could do that. This kid just has a few years of eligibility, which I think is a nice added part of this as well.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned that, because it seems like there's one more spot available. Maybe Wisconsin can go after someone else, but adding these two certainly gets the rotation at least somewhat in order, and maybe they add another piece. I know fans were thinking maybe they would add a big. I know Wisconsin was in talks with Tanner Groves, his exciting player in the NCAA tournament. He cut his list down to four. Wisconsin was not part of that, but it seems like the Badgers might be in the market for one other player. Maybe at a forward big position like that. But with these two, the rotation becomes a little bit more clear. So what do you make of the rotation right now? Where do you think some guys maybe line up?
So I think the biggest thing is I still anticipate that Chucky Hepburn will be point guard number one. I think he just brings something different than anybody else, any of the other point guards have. Plus, I like Lauren Bowman's ability to shoot, which and his length, which could help him be a guy who could play a little bit of the two as well. So I think Lauren Bowman would be a nice fit off of the bench to spell Hepburn or Brad Davison. Same with Jacoby Neath. I think those two give you now, or those four now, give you a pretty solid backcourt that you can rely upon. And there's a lot of youth. You've got one experienced, another guy with a decent amount of experience, and then two young guys to help you out as well. Then you look at Jonathan Davis. I anticipate that he's going to pop down to the three, play that wing position, which, it's essentially a hybrid guard slash forward, traditionally a small forward position. At 6'5", he played mostly there last year. He kind of stepped in for Aleem Ford most of the time when he was on the court. So I think that is a good fit for him and what he can do. And then I think the forward positions, you got Power Wall is going to be your power forward most likely. But the real question now is who ends up at center or really the other forward position. I'm high on Stephen Crowell. I think he's going to be the one to get that spot. I think Ben Carlson is further along talent-wise, is maybe has a better offensive game to rely upon. But I think you look at the height differential, 6'9 versus 7 foot. You look at how many forwards the Badgers struggled with this past year, and I think you want to have a 7-footer or somebody at least close to 7 feet on the court for the bulk of your minutes. So I think Crowell will be your starter. Otherwise, the Badgers would be extremely small at 6'9", 6'9", 6'5", 6'4", and 6'1". So I would anticipate that Crowell is the guy, at least that's my mind. I know Ben Carlson could have something to say for that and could easily take over that spot as well. And then you probably got a few guys off the bench. Jordan Davis might be a kid that could spell his brother if need be. I think Matthew Moores brings a shooting ability that can help him off the bench as well. If Brad Davison didn't come back, actually thought that Moores might end up starting. So I think overall this is a team that the depth chart, as you will, I know that that's not usually something considered for basketball as much, but kind of the rotation, you're probably looking eight deep, and you should have some guys off the bench to help you out, and maybe nine deep because you're so young.
Yeah, I think that's a solid rotation. And when you look at the points that you laid out there, it almost makes the picture of Brad Davison coming back a little bit more clear, because he's really, if you pop Davis down, he's not taking any minutes away from there. I think it makes a lot of sense to kind of go with those four at guard and then find some sort of rotation with Davis. You've got Wall and then, Crowell and Carlson and Matthew Moores kind of in that big role. So I think that's a solid rotation to a team that, yeah, it's probably going to have some growing pains, but you've got some leadership in Davison and should be a lot of fun to watch. You look at some of these guys you've followed along with with Davis, you know, now into his second year. You followed along with Chucky Hepburn in his high school career. He seems like a guy that, you know, you mentioned the Badgers are very high on him. If you've watched any of his high school tapes, he's a guy that's going to come into Wisconsin, I think, be ready to play right away. So you don't have as much concern there at the point guard position. And really you get to finally get a look at, even though you've got to watch another 34 to, you know, some games of Brad Davison, you still get a pretty good look at the youth of Wisconsin basketball that will be coming in at some of the other positions. So I think overall that rotation would be one that is exciting. You know, it's not the same group that you've had these last couple years. You've got one part of that, but overall you're getting to see some glimpses of some of these younger guys without putting too much pressure on them, putting too many minutes on them. So I think Wisconsin basketball is going to have some adjustments to make, and they're maybe not going to be a team that contends for a Big Ten, but they're going to be fun to watch, and I think that'll help them build for the future. And this rotation kind of gets you excited about what you might have next year.
I think the biggest thing is any player who shows the staff that they can shoot the ball and shoot the ball well is going to see the time. So I think two guys to keep an eye on as well are Carter Gilmore, who I think could get into the rotation. He could play a couple different spots based off of his size. He just earned a scholarship, so congrats to him for that after walking on originally out of Arrowhead. And then Isaac Lindsay, another walk-on out of Mineral Point, yeah. Didn't play last year at UNLV, and I know we mentioned him coming in. If he comes in, he's going to be eligible most likely now that they've passed the one-time transfer exemption. So I would anticipate if he's another kid who can stroke it, if he comes in and shows that he can shoot the ball well, he could also earn potential minutes as well. So I think there's a lot of moving pieces. We really won't know anything until the summer, come fall. And I still wouldn't I don't think the Badgers are shutting the door on bringing in another guy, especially if it's a grad transfer, to kind of continue to keep scholarship numbers a little bit more stable.
Yeah, I think that would make a ton of sense. It's going to be exciting to see how Wisconsin basketball kind of shakes out over these next few months into the summer and fall that way. All right, guys, so we'll go ahead and get our ad reads out of the way now, and then we'll get into some Wisconsin football conversation.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right, let's touch on some football. Before we get into Wisconsin, throwing out some offers, Reggie Pearson has found a new home. Of course, former safety for the Badgers was not medically cleared to play with Wisconsin, decided to transfer. He's going to head to South Dakota. I think if you're South Dakota, you're getting a player that has showed a lot of promise at the Division I level, so you're probably giddy about that. Of course, we wish him the best of luck. I know it's a tough situation that him, you know, for Reggie Pearson, he loved Wisconsin. It's just unfortunate the way kind of things shook out. But you know, it's definitely not a transfer move that is, and, you know, in spite of anything, just didn't really work out in terms of the medical stuff. So he's heading to South Dakota. What do you make of that? I think it's a good fit for him to hopefully excel and then get back on the field.
Yeah, I think it's a great fit for him. It's a good program. He's a kid who, assuming he's healthy, he's cleared to play, which I think is the major reason that he's not playing on a D1 team. You know, he's shifted down, bumped down to the FCS level. It is because of health concerns. So best of luck to him. I think overall, though, he's a kid that I think both of us wish was still playing for the Badgers, and I think most fans do. So I'm hopeful that he can stay healthy and can get everything out of his college career that he's hoping for now.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that because he was a player when he first started at Wisconsin. I was really excited about him, as a player and just the way he played so early on in his career. You know, at a safety position, he was a guy that looked like he was going to develop into a really strong Division I player. So, like I said, I think South Dakota is getting a gem, assuming he can get back out on the field and of course, get through some of those medical issues that have held him back at Wisconsin. So, yeah, we wish him the best of luck. I hope he goes on to a strong career and turns some heads because we certainly got our head turned when he played early at Wisconsin. I think if you pay attention to FCS football, you'll hear his name quite often if he's able to get back out there. So, moving on down the line, Wisconsin has been throwing out some offers on the defensive line for the class of 2023. Three-star Ja'Kai Lang out of Troy, Missouri. He's also got an offer from Kentucky. You got four-star Edric Hill out of Kansas City. He's got some other offers from Iowa, Iowa State, Kentucky, Minnesota, and Washington State. You got five-star Brennan Vernon out of Mentor, Ohio. He's got an offer from Ohio State and Notre Dame. It seems like he's going to be a hard one to pry away from the Buckeyes. I know 247, the crystal ball, pretty much has him going to the Ohio State University. But what did you make of that? I think it's nice to see Wisconsin kind of getting out and making some inroads in that 2023 class.
Yeah, I would imagine that you're going to see more and more 23 offers starting to go out, especially because Wisconsin's going to really try to get guys on campus here this summer. The Division I Council allowed and now opened back up recruiting starting June 1st for in-person visits and in-person evaluation, which is huge for a team like Wisconsin who really relies on summer official visits. We saw Wisconsin do well recruiting last year with the added bonus of these summer official visits, which are happening and unofficials for some of these 2023 kids who are going out. And I think it can really help them out. But I do love the fact that they're getting some of these offers out early with the understanding that it's going to continue to go faster and faster. Now that it seems like the recruiting had kind of slowed down so far for 2022 because of the pandemic, a lot of kids kind of holding things back, waiting to go on their visits. But I think it's going to ramp back up and speed back up really quick after official visits start up in 2022, because then it speeds up the 2023 class as well, which I think you're going to see everything get back into the normal rhythm, what it was before the pandemic, where kids are trying to make decisions fairly early, trying to lock down their spot, trying to find their home, go on unofficial visits to inform their decision making, and then use a few official visits early in their allotment in, say, 2023 for these defensive linemen to make a quick decision so that it's over with and they can focus on getting better over the summer and play their senior year. So I love the early momentum there. And really, I know we talked about this last episode, but Wisconsin continues to stockpile kids in those official visit windows for 2022 as well.
Yeah, I would expect things to really start ramping up here as you start to get some of the restrictions lifted in terms of recruiting. You've got some kids that are going to be eager to get out and start to make their decisions. So it's going to be an interesting couple months here, Wisconsin football, on the recruiting trail, seeing what they're going after, seeing where guys are going in terms of official visits and interest that way. But it's always nice to see Wisconsin being aggressive at some positions that historically they don't always recruit, the top-tier talent in terms of the defensive line. Some of these kids are really strong players. A kid like Ja'Kai Lang, not a ton of big offers outside of Kentucky and Wisconsin, so I would imagine now that with those are the two programs that recruiting-wise traditionally get to guys early, and then a lot of the other Big Ten programs and SEC programs will follow along, so I'm sure he'll pick up some other offers. And then the other two, four-star, five-star kids, I know Brennan Vernon's probably a little bit more of a dream pulling him away from Ohio State, but a guy like Edric Hill at four-star on the defensive line, Iowa, Iowa State, Minnesota, all in the running. So it's going to be an interesting next few months to see how both of this 2022 and 2023 class start to either take shape in terms of where they're going and for 2023, seeing where Wisconsin is really starting to lay the groundwork and get after things.
Yeah, and it would be exciting to see if Wisconsin can get into the mix and really win out in recruitment for a guy like Lang. You mentioned he's from Missouri. Wisconsin did some nice work, a decade ago in Missouri, and were able to bring in a bunch of guys, I mean, decade ago and even farther back. So it's been a while, but I think that is a spot that is oftentimes a space that Wisconsin can get into, because there's not a lot of teams that are in that mix. I know Illinois really recruits it hard. Obviously, Missouri, Nebraska is involved quite a bit. But that's a space that if Wisconsin can land a couple guys, it could go a long way as well, because you look at some of the other spots, that's not that far of a drive to get to Wisconsin, whereas if you're trying to go pull kids out of Georgia, you're looking at flights for unofficial visits. So I think Lang, if they can get him on campus, he's a kid they could have a relative shot, especially if they are able to hold off some of the bigger offers that I'm sure are likely to occur.
Yeah, should be an interesting case to watch here as Wisconsin starts to lay some inroads for that 2023 class. Speaking of recruiting, the 2021 class picked up a very late. I know traditionally you're not seeing additions to that part of the group, but crazy times right now. Alex Moeller out of Mount Prospect, Illinois, will join the Badgers as a preferred walk-on quarterback. Listed at 6 foot 165, plays quarterback and defensive back for his high school. So I think maybe there's a situation there where he comes in, provides some quarterback depth, but if you need, could maybe move some positions as well, just given his size that way and, some of his abilities to play at other positions. So I think for Wisconsin, you've got a nice addition there. It gives you a little bit more depth in that 2021 class. I know he had some offers from SCS schools, Southern Illinois, Valpo, and Butler, Columbia, and Yale were part of his college list. I think Valparaiso was the only actual scholarship offer. But interesting late pickup for the 2021 class. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is your traditional walk-on that who knows what position he actually winds up at. Played a lot of quarterback and defensive back in high school. I would anticipate probably ends up at defensive back, and is a kid that could help them out as a practice body. And really, who knows? It's always one of those things where we've seen kids come out of basically nowhere, especially kids who are former quarterbacks, play multiple positions, play multiple sports in high school, turn into something more when they get to the college level. So hopefully this is another example of that. He, at the very least, hopefully he can become a kid who's involved with special teams, and he's able to fulfill a dream of playing in the Big Ten while also getting a really good education. So I'm excited for him, and we'll see what he brings to the table come fall, and really what position he's playing come fall is, I think, the biggest question.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch for. All right, rounding things out, spring practice still underway. Not a ton of news so far this week. Anything that you found notable that you want to touch on before we round things out?
Was talking to the tight ends today, it looks like. So I think that'll be something that we haven't heard a lot from them. But beyond that, yeah, there hasn't been a bunch of news this week, at least as much. So you'll notice it's the midpoint of spring practice. We've got kind of a status update of both sides of the ball coming out this week. But I'm guessing by the time we hit early next week, probably on our Monday, Tuesday episode, we'll have more to break down with spring practice. But as of right now, I think it's more so just a little bit more of the same. Hopefully running backs can get healthy. I think that's one of the biggest things that's been going on. We continue to hear about Brady Schiffer, which I think is great now, because I think we mentioned that he's a kid who can help them out as a third down back, but when you're having to go down the line and missing out on some of those other guys, it's noteworthy in a lot of ways. But I think that's the biggest thing right now is just trying to keep guys healthy, keep guys fresh, and make gains, because there is a bunch of practices. You're only halfway through it right now.
Yeah, I think the important thing to remember here with no news isn't necessarily a bad thing, because generally in spring practice, when you're hearing of anything big news and in big stories, it's either a guy really coming on and playing well in the media or an injury. So if Wisconsin is coming out and not really having any big stories out of, you know, spring camp, that's not a bad thing because it means nobody's really getting you know, any sort of major injury, any sort of major bang up that could hang them up for you know, fall and spring practice that way. So no news isn't necessarily bad news in that regard. But yeah, we'll make sure to keep covering anything that we find news and noteworthy in, as we get into our episodes next week. So, all right, guys, that wraps up our episode of the podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed a little roundup of each of the sports kind of having things going on right now. Thank you, as always, for listening. We'll be back with you next week on Wisconsin. Thank you.